May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my soul find favor in your sight, my Lord and my Savior. Please all be seated. By the 1980s, the HIV/AIDS pandemic had spread throughout the world, in part due to ignorance, in part due to fear, and in part due to indifference, slowing the research, the education, and ultimately the treatment. It was often described among some as treating the lepers of the 21st century. It would eventually claim the lives of hundreds of thousands of individuals all over the world, of all ages, genders, socioeconomic status. And any time in this world, especially in this country, where there are compromising situations, there is a greater likelihood that when power and rules and laws are involved, the crux of the problem, or the deficit of the cure, creates even a bigger problem of those who are marginalized and those who are most needy in the society. Medical discrepancies and care become harder for those who are less likely to be able to afford it. At that time, people of color, the most marginalized and the most victim of health discrepancies, were dying at a rate 3 times greater than the general population of HIV/AIDS. It was during this time that an organization by the name of Balm and Gilead rose up from the streets, and said, how are we going to reach this population? Where are we going to reach the people of color to teach them, to educate them, so they can now help these populations that are being decimated by HIV/AIDS? And where did they go? They went to the places of worship, because they knew that that's where people would be at any given Sunday, Saturday. Whether it was in the street corner, ministers, whether it was in the storefront, prophecy, whether it was in the churches, that's where they went to bring the message of HIV/AIDS, to teach and educate and to help reverse the course of this terrible disease. My mother became very involved with the HIV/AIDS ministry and brought it to our church back then in Brooklyn, St. George's Anglican Episcopal Church. And like many churches, they were not too comfortable hearing topics and subjects related to HIV/AIDS, especially spoken from the pulpit. These were subjects not usually discussed. And then finally, after a year or so, when the HIV/AIDS Awareness Day happened, it was decided that we would have a big celebration at the church that Sunday, and it was recommended that they invite someone from the HIV/AIDS community to be our guest preacher. So my mother, being head of the committee, sought out the best well-known preacher of the HIV/AIDS community to come speak, and they accepted the invitation. That morning, shortly before service, the preacher arrived dressed in white. She looked like a bride. She proceeded to the pulpit and began in a rousing voice, not typical of our high right one Anglican Episcopal Church, began screaming at the top of her voice a very colorful honest recount of her life. She began with, "I was an adulterer," and continued on with, "Nothing I should repeat here." I even had to look up some words last night, and I said, "Oh, I can't say that tomorrow." But it was very graphic, and everyone sat there with a lot of indignation. But as she went on, and as the shock wore off in this Rite One Anglican church where women wore pearls and hats and the men were in suits and ties and the children sat in the pews in good behavior, as she went on, she began to talk about her life and how Jesus found her and how by his amazing grace, she was saved and healed, not for her life, not for her journey, but for the lives that she would now meet along her journey that she would save. And her eyes were open to what God had planned for her to do all the time, because all that she had lived through, she would now be a living truth to someone else. Her eyes had been open, and she was now walking in places where angels would think about treading. Her words reminded us that when it comes to following God, there are no rules that man can put before us. She reminded us that God's law of love is the only law we need to follow. Now, later in the sanctuary, when I was with Father Williams and my mom, who was also the Eucharistic minister and planned the shindig, I was waiting to see what Father Williams was going to say to her. Would he be indignant? Would he reprimand her? Instead, with a little smile, he said, "Dr. Thompson, clearly you were the only person in this community that never heard this preacher preach." Mom nodded and said yes. It makes me wonder whether or not those many years ago that the leader of the synagogue had ever heard Jesus preach before. The one who invited Jesus, that was the custom, that leaders of the synagogue invited other rabbis to come and speak. But I wonder if this leader had ever heard of Jesus. Was he the only one in this community that didn't know that Jesus was the one who was on the mount talking about lifting up the meek, the poor, the humble? That Jesus was the one that said, "Welcome the marginalized, welcome the sick, welcome the broken, welcome the bent down. I will set them straight and make them walk in God's name." He had no idea that this was the Son of God. He had no idea that this was the man who didn't come to destroy the world, but came to shake it up and wake it up. So when Jesus got up to speak, I'm sure many in the crowd, and I'm sure the crowd kept getting bigger as Jesus began to speak, that he was the only person that didn't know what Jesus was about to do, because what else could Jesus do but do God? So at one point we hear from Luke, we don't hear what Jesus said, but we hear clearly what Jesus did. That when Jesus notices the woman bent over and crippled, Jesus calls to her. He senses her, he knows she is there, and he calls to her, and he steps over and says, "You are healed," and he puts his hands on her, and she stands up and she praises God. For now she is healed, freed. The bonds and chains of death have been broken. And at that moment, you can feel, you can't find the words, but you can feel the miracle that you have just witnessed. Except for the pious the strong, the keeper of the word, the holders of the law. They are blinded. Their indignant rage, they are more concerned about what laws have been broken than that who was healed. They are less concerned with healing a broken spirit. They're more concerned and reprimanding those who came to God's house. Well, what do you expect to see at God's house? What do you expect to see when you come to church? Perfection? What do you see when you come into God's church? No one who is broken? What do you see when you come to God's house? You come to see us as we are. And we all come to this church awaiting the feast that God has prepared for us to be healed, to love one another, and to welcome one another. And Jesus says to them, reminds them, that the beast of burden that you own, you untie to give them water. And yet the child of God, you will discard. Now, you can say that with all of good intention, the leaders had to keep order. They had to keep order because their flock, their people, were so oppressed all around that they had to hold on to what little they had. But in holding on so tight, they were blinded. They were blinded, so blinded, that the very purpose of coming to God's house they couldn't see. And being in the presence of God's miracle, they could not be a part of. So their anger and their disgust was a loss to them. But Jesus shows up and reminds us in those times that there is no law greater than what his law is. And no matter what laws or rules, Jesus is telling us that we need to always stand up and declare the truth. He calls out the leaders of the time who are in their piety and importance, who are blinded to God's miracles, ignorant to his words. What happens when we do so? Our world that's already crumbled breaks a little more, and we lose sight of the world, we lose sight of our church, and worse, we lose sight of ourselves as the church in this world. It is not lost upon me that every single time I step onto this pulpit, that there were many before me who broke many laws that allowed me to stand here. Throughout history, there have been laws in this country that were misread, misinterpreted. They were laws that men wrote that would segregate, cause harm and even death, that would take away the basic dignity of humanity and the rights of freedom. Denying the dignity of every human being to live in the world in this country where truths and liberty for all those created in the image of God, children of Abraham, siblings of Jesus, are meant to live. We have no other purpose but to stand tall, straight, and face injustice wherever we can, however we can. To educate and to support and care for one another. There are many ways to get loud. There are many ways to speak out. There are many ways to march and to walk, to write, to speak, to talk. There are many ways to vote. There are many ways to hold on to the truths that we hold self-evident. In this time when our freedom of speech is being silenced, in this time where our arts are being censored, where our histories are being censored, where neighbors from other countries are coming here to find the dream that we are still, the dream of God, which we are still working on, are being denied and detained and treated like beasts. We need to get loud. We need to speak, sing, and talk. So if we are silenced, the stones will ring out. We are the church of today, and we will be defined in history as a place of God, a sanctuary for all. I will ask God to keep us in his embrace and pray for us. And I will pray for them too. I will continue to pray for mercy on them who have been blinded by the laws, by putting man before God. I will keep asking God to help them, and I will ask for patience. I will ask for patience when people will question why someone should be allowed in this country who wasn't born here naturally. I will ask for patience for those who don't understand why LGBTQ people have the same rights we do that everyone does. I will ask for patience when people feel homeless people are now should be criminals and arrested and thrown away like garbage. I will ask for patience when children around this country are starving and dying unnecessarily, where governments are closing factories rather than dispersing food and needed medication. I pray for patience, and I pray for all of us to remember that the law of God, the last commandment, that Jesus said, love your neighbors as yourself. Love your neighbors as I loved you. To honor those commandments, to honor the law of God, that as many of us truly know God to do so. And when the laws are bending the wrong way, when the laws are turning back to the wrong time, let us be strong, stand straight and tall, and give praise to God. For the church continues. Amen. Mm-hmm.